Okay.
Welcome to episode 13 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. Thanks everybody for checking us out. We know there's a lot of podcasts out there you can listen to, but there's only one Pimpcast, and we're the only Pimpcast out there that discusses permaculture from a pragmatic point of view. I'm Billy.
And I'm William, and there is actually definitely only one Pimpcast. That is for sure.
Well, I'm glad to be the best at one thing, and
we're the best Pimpcast out there.
Yeah, who knew, y'all? We're number one. Didn't even need to put out a poll. How about that? All right, tip of the day. We're going to keep it very, very real, y'all. Tip of the day. Think about, now I'm going deep here because it's on the heels of a video that we just did regarding Comfrey. I want you to think, if all of a sudden you can't, everybody's thinking about, oh, I need to stockpile food for us, you know, the family. I need to stockpile food for my animals. Are you thinking about minerals? Because I was just down, you know, this is something from the other day where I'm down at the feed store and boy, things are getting awfully, you know, thin there. And we did this article on Comfrey, not article. It was
a video on Comfrey.
Yeah.
It just came out. Was it today or?
Well, it would have been a few days ago.
A few days ago.
Yeah. We're getting back, you know, that festival. It's a lot going on here, y'all. But anyway, we did that video and it got me thinking. Everybody's thinking about food they're putting back, but are you thinking about some of the minerals? And if you can't find them, do you have a plan B? Well, that's where Comfrey and other dynamic accumulators come in. It may not be the very best. It may not have everything you need. Let's say you're missing selenium. Well, that can be a pretty big deal for a lot of these animals. But there might be a chance that Comfrey is able to get a little bit out of that soil and deposit it into the leaves. Not just Comfrey, but a lot of other dynamic accumulators. It could be something, anything, that a weed that people, you know, people call them weeds, that might have a deep taproot. So instead of going out there with an herbicide and knocking all this stuff out, y'all, or maybe there are other things out there that they tell you are toxic, that maybe in very small amounts, they might be of great benefit for your animals if by chance you can't get the necessary mineral you need.
Or if you can't even do that, do your animals have access to like a woody area for your browsers and stuff? Because there's a lot of medicine in there for them.
Well, also, you want to think about, like right now we use kelp because kelp basically has a lot of what you need, pretty much everything you need. We use Thorvin kelp. And I don't know that I'm going to try that experiment, but I know that if it comes down to it, that it was like I said in that video that the bull really doesn't fool around with Comfrey and most bovines don't, but that's not entirely true. Michelle decided to tell me, your mom decided to tell me afterwards because she really watches things very closely. And she's
especially
like,
when it comes to the animals.
Oh my goodness.
Especially when it comes to the well-being of the animals we're going to keep for a long period of time.
Yeah, she'll forego that people care in regards to herself. But believe me, she ain't overlooking nothing when it comes to these animals.
If we're going to eat it, she doesn't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but when it comes to like Coco and stuff, she fed him some the other day. And he'll eat it if he feels like he needs it. I mean, it's... they know exactly what they need, y'all. So that's a real big thing.
It depends on the time of the day, whether or not he prefers to go out into the pasture or if he prefers to stay inside. There's a lot of factors involved.
Well, okay, on to the farm news. We absorbed an attack that we haven't had to deal with before, and that was a hawk attack. I caught him cold-blooded, man.
Well, we haven't had to deal with here in North Carolina.
Yeah, we had really clever... I'll be honest with you, it may be kind of lazy because in Texas, this was something that was very real, had to deal with it quite often, and you had to be quite decisive. But here, we've never had any problems. Every single time a hawk or an eagle, any bird of prey would come up, man, you could just like clockwork, man, you'd see them, you'd see those crows coming up out of nowhere, And they would run them off because we also feed the crows. That was one of the things we do.
Yeah, that was when we had the chicken tractor on steroids going. When we had those piles, when we had like food scraps in there for the chickens. How many birds did we lose this time?
Well, we lost four. We lost four out of 50.
Of the meat birds.
Of the meat birds. Chicks. Yeah, of the chicks. They don't mess with the bigger birds because we have Australorps in there. And the birds of prey tend to think they're crows. So you always want some blackbirds in there with your flock. But anyway, they got four of them. And I saw this sucker fly out, get up in the tree. And so I had to go do some running around. Your mom and I basically gathered up all the chicks that he didn't kill. And we stuck them inside there. And so now we got some decisive ways to go about that. We can sit here and quarter Milk Boy out there till he gets bigger. Or
no, till the chicks get bigger.
Yeah.
He's big enough.
Yeah. We'd actually put him inside there and nothing's going to happen. Or there's some other methods that I'm not going to talk about in a pimp cast.
Milk Boy caught a rabbit the other day, and Emily and Mom were so proud of him. They were so proud
of him. That rabbit was probably half dead, man. He ain't chasing down no rabbit.
Well, he also left the head on the front porch for him, too.
Oh, so they didn't think that part was cute. So he thinks he's a cat now.
Yeah. I'm just surprised he caught something. That dog is massive.
I know. But, man, his bark, boy, he tells you what time it is before you ever think about tripping around here.
Yeah, he breaks your eardrums. If you're in the garage with him and then he barks while you're in the garage, it breaks your eardrums. Yeah,
Chloe's worse, though, if you're in the house. All right, here's another little farm news thing, y'all. And I'm sure I'm going to say this and everybody's going to say, duh. rain apps, you know, weather apps just flat out don't work.
Nope. For every day, our 10-day forecast is 60% rain every single day.
Well, I'm out there.
What does that even mean?
Well, I was out there, you know, expecting. Here's what I've been noticing. Now, people are going to call me a conspiracy nut, but I don't care. Here's what happens. I'll have a discussion with your mom or you, and I'm talking about, you know, maybe I'll get out here and go mess with this bone saw. It looks like it's going to be clear weather because I can't have rain. We don't have a covered place to do that. So I got to be really careful about how I do it. And then lo and behold, it'll tell me rain is coming hours later. And so I know, or later in the day, I need a fair amount of time before I get out here and mess with this. And then all of a sudden, it'll come rolling in. Same thing happens over, it only happens on the day where we have a discussion about rain.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, some weird stuff seems to happen with this app. Hey, y'all, if this is happening to you, let me know. Billy@permapasturesfarm.com. I really want to know if it's just me because I don't think it is.
Or also like those hazy days where it might rain or it might not, it's just odd weather. It's just very odd weather.
Well, there's a lot of things going on with that hawk attack. I just want to say this also, you know, other people like Justin from Metcalf Mills and a number of others, everybody has been saying, I'm talking people that have been posted up in an area for generations. They're saying they are seeing things now that they have never, ever, ever seen before. Danny at Deep South. Which, by the way, y'all, he's on the mend. Thank God for that. And thank you for your prayers for my friend.
He's home now.
Yeah. So Danny's on the mend. But even Danny, who's been posted up down there pretty much his whole life, notwithstanding the times he had to travel. But this is a guy, look, man, I was at the dinner table with him where there was this bird that was coming in there taking his blueberries or whatever it was after. His back was turned. And how, for the life of me, he knew that bird was out in the yard. He jumped up from the table. He was ready to snatch up his gun and go out there and go to work because this bird was wiping out. But how he knew, I don't know. That's how attentive he is to the nature and to the environment around him. People may think, oh, well, you know. Look, I saw it with my own two eyes. I was facing this thing. And when I saw him jump up, I about spilled my food because I was like, how did he even know? And then I heard Miss Wanda talking about, you know, there were other times we're out there where he is so attuned, it's like he's got this peripheral vision. But I'm saying all this to say, you got somebody like Justin from Metcalf Mills who's been up here, man. He knows every jot and tittle of everything that happens up in these mountains. You got Danny, somebody down there who's been seeing things his whole life. And neither one of these guys, taken together, to me, that's gospel when it comes to what's going on out there. And there's a number of other people out there that have been posted up in the same place for a long time, and they know what four seasons looks like. And they're seeing animal things unfold that have never, ever, ever happened before.
Yeah.
I wondered, like, with the crows and why they weren't on duty. You know,
because they were around earlier this year, but I don't remember seeing them like lately.
I don't remember seeing them lately. No, I mean every time.
It's not like they just go away once they find a source of food. We have food scraps all over the place.
Well, and that's why that's part of what we do in there. We feed the crows as well. They get in there, they help out, they do their thing. I'm like, I have no problem with these crows. We're cool.
Yeah.
Now we don't have any corn for them to mess up. I know corn's out there growing right now.
Yeah, there is that. That might be the reason. Well, that makes sense.
I'm also thinking that may not be the reason, because we had the chicken tractor on steroids going this time last year, same exact time, and we didn't have any problems. Crows, all of a sudden, I don't see the crows. I don't see them on duty. I don't know if anything, man, I don't know if it's the 5G. I don't know what's going on, but I know all the animals ain't doing what, or they're doing weird things, seeing way more deer being hit on the side of the road, and it ain't even the rut. So something's wacky, man. I don't really know what's going on.
Speaking of on the side of the road, I saw a car pulled over on the side of the road. Was it like a week ago or something like that? I saw a car pulled over on the side of the road. Just the driver was in an ambulance, was getting in the ambulance. There was like no accident or anything like that. Just the driver on the side of the road.
Funny you bring that up, because I was driving through Asheville and I've been seeing... Man, I look, y'all, I'm telling it real when I say this. I go to Asheville once, maybe twice a week. Lately, I've been going more often because I've had things to do. And I've been seeing some freaky stuff, man. It's not uncommon to see a lot of homeless people on the side of the road and even in downtown. But, man, they have been getting nuttier. I've seen this black dude out there, had dreads plumbed down to his butt. And he is literally getting naked on the side of the doggone road right outside Panera.
Like, Asheville is known for being weird, but this is, it's past what it ever was.
Yeah, it's hit a fever pitch, man. Yeah. It's stuff going on. Like, there was another thing. Me and your mom actually saw this, and it took everything I had not to put a beating on this dude. He is literally,
you should stop going to Asheville.
Man, I'm telling you, dude. I hate going to cities. Anyway, Asheville used to be a pretty cool place to go, but because of all the idiotic policies and stuff going on, I think it's even getting worse. But I think there's more to it, because check this out. Ask your mom if I'm lying. It's one of those things that was so bizarre, I wasn't even sure I was seeing it. I'm like, am I witnessing this? This dude is, he smoked everything but his socks, clearly. I mean, bombed out of his ever-loving mind. He's leaned back like, you remember that thing you used to do as a kid, like when you're playing like a crab?
Yeah.
He's literally in that crab position. Like, got his hands behind him, laying on his back, pulls up in the crab position, has his junk literally sticking out of his zipper, peeing as he's walking, as he's crab walking. I ain't never seen nothing like it, man.
That's you rebuke. You don't go up and put a beating on.
No, man. The reason why I was going to do it, man, there was kids in the, there was a, what do you call that chicken place, man? Your mom likes to go to every once in a while.
That doesn't narrow it down.
Yeah. Well, it's. Oh, man.
A chicken place Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. Oh. That's what they call that one.
Yeah, mom likes every chicken place.
Yeah, yeah. There's a joke in there, but I ain't going to say it.
The day when I got that joke.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll have to say, even though I better not say that, man, because there's too much nuance there. But anyway, this dude's out there crab walking, got his junk, and he is peeing like a fountain as he's crab walking across from kids playing over there at the Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, man, I mean, the traffic was busy. Not one person. There's another bum next to him. Yeah, this ain't homeless. This is a bum. He's out there peeing on the ground in front of everybody. And then I'm seeing other things, weirdo things that are even like, off the charts for homeless people, man.
Our bus stops are insane. If you want free entertainment, just go park at Ingles and look at the bus stop across the street over by Enterprise.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can just watch that intersection. There's so many accidents that happen there. There have been two accidents that I have witnessed at that intersection.
I've been seeing a lot of those, too. There was a fifth wheel that was over there on fire. People standing over there practically looking like they're about to bust out marshmallows. I ain't never seen nothing like it, man.
There was that RV that was on fire on the side of the exit.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
and there was then that. Crashes everywhere. I mean,
there was that overturned semi. There was no accident. No other car was involved. There was that overturned semi on the way out to that swale workshop.
Straight road, no problem. Straight road, and this old boy rolled that big rig up in the woods. And then also...
Rolled it over.
Yeah. It was inexplicable. It made no sense whatsoever. I got my suspicions as to why, but man, I'm also seeing record numbers of accidents that I never saw before until they decided to, you know, jab these people up. I don't know if there's a, well, I'm going to say there's a correlation. I don't know. I know this much. My insurance cut by 2/3 when we moved from Texas to North Carolina. Well, when we moved from Kansas to Texas, it doubled. No, it tripled. And then it went back by 2/3 when we moved from Texas to North Carolina. And you can see the reasons why. I mean,
I wonder what the insurance is in New York, because people were passing me on like the shoulder. They were using the shoulder of the road as a lane to pass people.
See, that's not
something. But it was like, it got to the point where I got used to it.
Well, the thing about it was Massachusetts, New York, I did a lot of time working up there in all these places. They were some of the best drivers I'd ever seen.
Oh, they were good at it. Nobody wrecked. No. Everybody was good at it.
No, I never saw any of that stuff. Every other sign is somebody, something telling you what you can't do.
Yeah, there were those signs too.
But these people were, nobody was just, you know, chilling out in the passing lane. They literally used the passing lanes for passing lanes. And then all of a sudden we're seeing all these weird things. But folks, I don't mean to spend too much time on that. I know everybody out there has got to be seeing all this wacko stuff too. Reach out, let us know. We're going to move into the world news. Well, it's really not world news. Remember, the news, if you're new here, y'all, it's something that means something to you as a farmer, as a homesteader, as a permaculture
news that
designer.
Affects us.
Yeah. Well, check this out. It was on Yahoo News. Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time getting news from them, but this was worth looking at. The National Black Farmers Association, don't completely remember the dude's name, but he basically appealed to the Biden administration saying that unless the government drops the cost of fuel and fertilizer, that we are going to have food shortages like you've never seen before. Now, the thing that bothers me, and this is going to be part of the topic here. First of all, I'm a person of color. If you don't know, if you've never seen our videos or any of that stuff, I'm also a journeyman union IBEW electrician. Now, years ago, I remember they started this, this minority caucus that they created of all brown and black people and whatnot. And I was, you know, people came to me and saying, hey, you want part of this? We'll cover more of this in the main topic today, because that's really what we're going to talk about is farming while black. But this guy is basically saying, you might be, you're going to want to stick around for this one, y'all, because I'm not.
There's the podcast title.
Yeah.
Farming while black. Let's see how many people this irritates.
Well, but we're going to cover the tail end of what we covered in the previous podcast, because I know people want to hear that. But anyway, this guy says the government needs to get involved to cut the cost of fuel and fertilizer. You know, I guess he's not completely wrong, because it's because of the government that we even have a doggone problem.
Wait, it's not Russia, Dad?
Yeah, how about that?
It's not Russia.
Well, apparently, to this guy's credit, I don't know him. I don't know what he does exactly. I'm probably going to spend a little time looking into him and what he does. And he may have the best of intentions, but at the same time, it's the government that created this doggone mess. So instead of that's what I'm trying to do in not only the YouTube channel, but also the podcast and also the people I associate with, especially as of late. We're not looking for Uncle Sam to solve a lot of our problems, except for the problems that Uncle Sam created.
We're looking to create those parallel economies. We're looking to kick Uncle Sam out.
Get the stepping. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell Uncle Sam. But he's basically saying what everybody else out there has been saying. And it goes on the heels of what we talked about in the last podcast, where the lady, I don't want to use her name, I didn't get permission, but basically our local farm store, which is about 5 miles away from where we are right now,
yeah, 5 miles, but like 30 minutes.
Well, the grain guy comes in there, freaks her out, and says, look, get ready for the cost of bread. And he wasn't joking. Get ready for the cost of bread to be about 10 bucks a loaf come December. Okay, I hope that was hyperbole. I don't know. Then he says the other day, and I covered in the last podcast, hey, all the cheap corn is gone. This, you know, it's doubled in months, and it's only going to get worse. And folks, if you don't know already, farmers historically don't have a lot of money.
No, it cracked corn. Was it cracked or whole corn?
It was whole corn.
So even the cheaper one.
Yeah, went from 8 to 16 bucks. And when I was in there before, when all this fertilizer nonsense was going on, guys were coming in there looking for triple 13. I was there because I was looking at seeds on the discount rack, something to throw in, you know, the little mix I put together, something cheap. And I'm in there for a long time because I'm going through these seeds and I'm trying to see if they're going to work. I can't even count the number of people that came in there asking for triple 13, find out what the price is. And I mean, they were losing their ever loving minds. I go up to the counter and say, "Hey, Carrie, man, sorry to hear about all this, man. These guys are losing." She said, by that time, she'd been kind of numb to it.
Yeah. As a side note, everybody, don't lose it on the person working the cash register. They have nothing to do with it.
Well, and then she's also saying, "Look, y'all, there's got to be something in it for us." And now people are starting to forego. Look, folks, there is a reason. People are starting to forego the feed. I don't know how they're getting around it. But unless you start employing some of the methods that we have been evangelizing for years now, telling you, look, you have got to start thinking about things like maybe Sean and Beth Doherty. I was promoting that book for a while now.
Alternative ways to fertilize, alternative ways to feed your animals, alternative ways to feed yourself.
You better be thinking about those.
Think about.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're not in the business of selling fear porn or any of that stuff, but it's getting real. But unlike everybody, not everybody else out there, because there's some good people doing good work. But unlike a lot of them out there that are saying, oh, fear, 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 fear. And we've talked about it before where some of these YouTube channels that were strictly homesteading realized, oh, we can make a lot on fear selling that. And then worse yet, I know for a fact these people don't know anything of what they're talking about.
Selling fear with bad information.
Yeah, that's what really gets me. And that's also what Pinball Preparedness was talking about. You know, he was... You know, to his credit, man, he gives you the sources for all that stuff when he does it. But going back to this article, he's basically, look, I can go down and read and bore you with the article. You can go find it yourself. Just check out National Black Farmers Association. They got a website and the whole nine yards. And admittedly, I know very, very little about them. But at the end of the day, I am not looking for Uncle Sam for any solutions. And for those of you living in apartments or postage stamp backyards, maybe in Massachusetts or some of these other places, look, go requisition some land. Yeah, I told you that. I said it. Go out there and do it. If they can sit here and do what they're doing, you better be thinking about alternative ways to not only feed your animals, like we talked about in the beginning with the comfrey, also thinking about alternative ways where you can use waste streams, talked about in great, go check out Jack Spirko's podcast. We talked about it there. A lot of people reaching out saying, well, my homeowners association is not doing this and that, or they're not going to let me. Look, forget about it. We gave you solutions on how to deal with these people. So you tell them your animals identify as dogs. You make their, you boomerang this back to them. And you might want to think about getting your neighbors to do the same, y'all. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, we're going to finish up what we talked about last time and then move into Farming While Black. All right, well, I can honestly say I didn't see this musical selection coming up, son. You surprised me on that one.
Dad didn't know that one was coming.
Who
on earth
was that?
No, do you remember that one?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you do. You heard it. It was like back in when we lived in Kansas, you heard that song.
Well,
that's an old song.
Well, it was clearly not memorable. So, I mean,
Dad, yeah, that's a memorable song.
I should have remembered that.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see it coming. Good job, son. We're going to pick up, first of all, before we get into it, I want to cover, because it's kind of critical. I want to make sure when we talked about tactical permaculture last time, there was so much we didn't get into. But one thing I really want to hit on before we get into the main topic was the one thing that really is central to, we didn't cover zone zero.
Yeah, the house.
Yeah. So think about your housing also when it comes to tactical permaculture. Let's hit some of those basic military things, y'all. I discussed it before in terms of your light discipline. Everybody forgets about that in your house. If you have anything facing that road, you might want to think about, if you're going to have any lights, first of all, I would strongly recommend you don't. But if you do, especially in a STF, whatever they, what in a basically, we'll call it Mad Max, okay? Because I can't remember what that acronym is. So let's say it's that kind of situation, or let's just say things got stupid.
S-H-T-F.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so if it's in one of those situations, in terms of your house, you better be thinking about your light discipline. They make blackout curtains, and you might want to consider that. In a situation like that, I mean, a little bit. Here's what's going to freak everybody out. And I think William Forstchen, the guy that wrote the book One Second After, which is definitely worth reading, one thing that he covered in there was the thing that's going to freak people out the most if there were, let's say, an EMP or anything like it. The number one thing that's going to freak people out is a lack of light, of just how dark it gets.
Yeah.
And that's one thing in the military you learn to do without pretty easily. I mean, it can be frustrating at first, but then you learn to look at light. You learn to look around at night with your peripheral vision. And that's exactly how you got to do it. But in your house, it could be a cell phone. It could be whatever the case may be. If you need a tactical setting, darkness is your friend if it's on your property. Think about that. You know every, or you should know, where everything is on your property. And darkness is going to favor you in an environment like that. You might even think about some night vision goggles.
If somebody's intruding on your property, they don't know where everything is on your property.
Well, think about it also. In terms of night vision goggles, if you put it on the IR or the infrared setting, it shoots out a beam that somebody else with another set of night vision goggles can see. So in the Army, we almost never, ever, ever use that. Yeah, it helps you see better, but it also makes you able to be seen by anybody else. But get used to practicing with that night vision. So back to your house. In terms of tactical permaculture, son, is there a structure that you think is neglected in terms of permaculture?
I think Earthship. I think a lot more people should hop on building Earthships. Yeah, they are labor intensive. One of the things that people claim are the downsides of Earthships is the off-gassing. But the off-gassing does not occur inside the Earthship. The air inside the Earthship is cleaner than the air outside of the Earthship. The adobe that's on the walls filters the air as well as the plants up in the greenhouse. But also the tires are used tires, so they've already done all the off-gassing that they're going to do in their lifetime.
So they're not going to do it. They don't have any access to air or sunlight or anything like that. So they're covered in adobe and dirt.
And your house is bulletproof on three sides.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you do your raised beds up front high enough, 3.5 sides.
Yeah, well, it could be that going right back to that tactical permaculture, you could have a berm situated out front.
Yeah.
That, and, you know.
Some of those Earthships have a wall around their property.
Right, and it could be it could very well be a berm. I mean, you could take the water that you don't collect off the top of that house. It could go into a swale that's maybe situated out front. Or any other.
Go into one long hoogle mound and just plant trees on top.
I was going to say that very same thing. Yeah. You could have that very thing. So consider some of those things also in terms of your tactical permaculture. It would have been foolish to not cover that part. But son, also give them some of the other, if you're in a situation where it's, let's say, rolling blackouts or you don't have power, what's the benefit of having that
Earthship? The Earthship also provides all your power. It has solar panels. It also catches all your water with the rainwater catchment. Everything that hits the roof is going into rainwater catchment tanks that then go into, like, that's your first use water. So that's the water you would drink, wash with, sink water, stuff like that. And then it goes into a gray water planter where it goes and, like, waters your plants because it's just gray water, and then from there it goes to filling your toilet tank, and then you can just flush with dirty gray water because you don't need clean water to flush a toilet, right, Dan?
Yeah, that's exactly the
and
case.
Then from there it goes to your septic, so it's using your water, it's catching all your water and using it four times before it actually leaves your property.
Lord knows,
leaves the house.
I'm gonna mess that water up before it goes out one way or the other. So I mean, the point point of it being is that, well, William also spent two different stints at the Earthship Academy. So he's
been
out there.
It's also natural disaster proof as well. Like, they survived the earthquakes in Haiti. Remember those earthquakes in Haiti a while back? Yeah, they built Earthships before those earthquakes. And they were some of the only structures that were left after the earthquakes with no damage.
You know, for the one that we do, I was also thinking one of the things that we designed into it, and we haven't forgotten about it, folks. It's just going to have to be on the back burner for a whole bunch of reasons, some of them being tactical reasons for now.
Yeah.
We have other things. We have a bigger fish to fry right now, and we can't necessarily talk about it, not in any sort of not in any forum like this. We are, Lord willing, going to get back to that Earthship, but we have other Well, I've already said that before, but the point being is that in a structure like that, in a preparedness scenario, it's pretty darn important because you don't really, you wouldn't even really notice it. You wouldn't notice a grid down scenario because the whole house, your heating and cooling is your biggest.
It takes care of all that. Your heating and cooling is all passive, done through the earth.
And nobody ever thinks about that. They're worried about light bulbs when you got to be thinking about your heating and cooling when all of it's done passively in a structure like that.
All of your rooms open up to the south. So if it's daylight outside, you have light inside your house, no matter which room you're in.
Right.
Except for maybe the bathroom. I'm going to figure that part out.
And all your appliances and stuff like it. So you got water catchment. You got all of it. It is the consummate permaculture structure, but almost nobody builds them.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest factor is the labor part. It takes a lot of labor to pound a bunch of tires.
Well, we ain't strangers to hard work. And then we're also going to bring Darren out when we decide to do that. We're going to bring Darren out, and I guarantee he's going to invent something that's going to make tire pounding a whole lot easier.
Well, there are people building earthships with tire bales. People are using tire bales.
Yeah.
The issue with tire bales, though, is finding access to them. You have to find somebody. Like, the Department of Transportation does a lot of them. They do a lot of work with them, and they have the compactors to actually make tire bales. I think one bale has like 120 tires or something like that.
Yeah, we were actually looking at that for the one in Texas that we were going to build.
But you can build the whole superstructure in a single day.
Yeah, we actually looked at that. The only downside of it was the shipping to get it there in the big rig to get it there was going to be an absolute nightmare in terms of cost. So we wouldn't have been any money ahead. And finding tires is easy enough. Also, those tires, guess what? Every time you go in the Army, think about this. Anybody that served and did any close combat, guess what those walls in your training areas are made out of? They're made out of tires. We would throw grenades up in that bad boy, boom, go in there, and then we'd come out blasting. So, I mean, this isn't, there's so many tactical reasons why Earthship makes so much sense. Now, if some fool wants to get up there and break the glass, well, that's going to be a problem no matter the house.
But
you can also do things.
It doesn't have to be glass, though. It could be plexiglass.
Well, it's
like Foxhole Homes, I think they use. No, but it'll stop a rock. Like, I think Foxhole Homes uses plexiglass. They build earthships for veterans, basically. But yeah, I think they use plexiglass. They don't use a regular glass.
Well, think about those. There's other structures, too, out there. We're kind of leaning towards an earthship because it answers so many different problems. You know, earth bag. There's clearly a place for that as well.
Wafadi. I mean, you're not going to get the like bulletproof part, but well, I guess on part of it you will, but it also is pretty camouflaged as well.
There you go. That's one thing I like about that Wafadi too, is that it could be low profile. It could be, I mean, there's Paul Wheaton did a lot of work on that and,
you're not going to see it from above really.
Yeah. So anybody from the road, that's something you could do in a clandestine sort of, environment. So, okay, so there's your housing, everybody. So now I can walk away from that topic feeling as if, because I was like, I walked away out of that podcast, and I'm thinking, man, I left out Zone Zero, y'all. Yeah. My bad. So here we are. We're going to move on to, man, this is going to be a controversial topic, but I never steer away from those things. And it's partially inspired by really a couple of things. Okay, let me give the backstory on this. First of all, you heard me talk about the story about the National Black Farmers Association. Okay, not cool with that generally. And the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus, I've been trying to, you know, people try to rope me into that. And a number of other things. And I've always said no. And the reason why, honestly, the reason why is why create division? And I'm going to say something. I'm going to speak to some of the black folks out there that might be listening. Every time I go to a job, and typically I'd go, when I was working with my tools, I would chase the big money jobs. Paying a lot of money, need electricians there, you're working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, I'm the first guy out there. And the reason why I was chasing those jobs is because I was chasing that money so we could live this lifestyle and then maintain this low consumption lifestyle, high quality that we have. But one thing you would notice is that in all these jobs, typically, when you have a crew and you work with that crew, when you go to break, you typically take break with that crew. It's always been that way as long as I can remember in the trades. But years ago, I noticed this phenomenon. Whenever the big jobs would happen, all the black guys would basically go to one table and, you know, basically segregate themselves which is, I guess, at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with that. And then they would start to look at me like, hey, why don't you come over here? I'm like, no, I'm taking a break with my crew. This is the crew I'm with. I'm taking a break with them. And so I didn't get a lot of positive responses out of these guys. And frankly, I was treated differently. And I was called some names. Honestly, I'm used to that from everybody, really, because I'm not going to march to your drum. I'm going to march to my drum. We're all born originals, and we spend the rest of our lives trying to be copies. And I don't care what it is. I'm going to do the very opposite of whatever you tell me I'm supposed to do. So that said, there was that phenomenon.
Is it a Marilyn Monroe quote, Dad?
What?
That quote you just said, the copies?
I don't know if it was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, it was like Marilyn Monroe or something like that. Dad, you can't be quoting Marilyn Monroe on the Permaculture Pimp cast.
Man, well, she was, you know what? She was worthy. She was found worthy, like Thor's hammer, man. She was worthy. So
anyway.
Okay, so with that backdrop, and I could provide numerous other examples of the very same thing. Well, if we're going to try to work in accordance with Martin Luther King said, where we judge people on the content of their character, not the color of their skin, why are so many people of color finding reasons to create divisions? I'm seeing this other podcast. It wasn't a podcast. It was a, there was something near us, and I'm gonna tell them it's the Growers Association. I can't remember.
Organic Growers School.
Yeah, right here in Mars Hill, North Carolina.
Organic Growers School.
Yep. They had a girl in there a couple of years ago. I decided to go, Michelle and I, and she had a, I don't remember her name, but dig this, y'all. I was in the class because I wanted to see how
some
this was going
some sort of coffee
down.
Shop name, y'all can imagine.
Yeah, we get in there, and man, as sure as I'm standing in front of you right now, there's a bunch of white folks in there. I'm the only person that isn't white in there. And there's probably 40 people in this talk in this classroom over at Mars Hill University. This girl comes out and she was slick. I mean, she was in there. You could tell she was perfectly polished. And it was strange because she had a couple of weird handlers with her. It was like she had an entourage. I don't know what it was all about, but she was in this room telling this entire room of white people how tough it is to be a black farmer, how hard it is for this and that, that and this, and how, dig this, that you ought to be giving your land or a piece of your land to a person of color. And the strange part was, is I'm expecting somebody to get up there and jump out of the room, start cussing and carrying on. They were in agreement. I was like, what? Am I seeing this? Am I witnessing this? These people who had no association whatsoever with slavery or otherwise. And by the way, there were black slave owners, in case you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ask me for the history on that. I'll drop everything you think you want to know about it. I guarantee I can spit it out from the top of my head. But anyway, these people were in there shaking their heads. I'm looking around this room like, what? Am I hearing this? We were still relatively new to the area, so I didn't know the level of lunacy that was going on around here.
Yeah, I didn't realize it reached this far to Mars Hill.
I didn't. Well, they were all from all around that came up here for this thing. And I'm like, say what? These people were eating out of the palm of her hands. And then she did this sort of like this call and response thing where it was something like a poem. And when she walked out of that room, there were people literally in there having conversations about how black people are this, black people are that, and how they need to be given away. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, man, does any one of these people want to buy me some reparations coffee? So, I mean, like, I'm getting out of there. And the strangest of all is I am totally bewildered. And I'm walking out of here. And the pandering that all of these people were doing to me, it was very disquieting.
Yeah, you could have probably got some free land out of the deal, Dad. You could have probably stood up after the end of the class and said, all right, so who wants to give me some free land?
You know, I could have probably done that. There was another organization, too, that I was invited to. Same exact thing, where there's this lady, doesn't live far from us. She lives in Bernardsville, and she's talking about, during this class, I really liked her. She was sweet. She meant well, but she was totally indoctrinated. And she's going on about how, I mean, literally, and looking at me, like, out of the corner of her eye, I'm sticking out, you know, I'm a bunch of cotton balls in there, and I'm the only one in there, and every single person in that room is pandering to me.
Maybe that's where the farmers, the Black Farmers Association came from. They're like, is anybody else out there? Maybe that's how it happened.
Maybe that was the case.
Going to these groups.
Well, man, every single time I go to these groups, it's embarrassing because I'm like, I go to this one, and I went to several meetings, And this girl's going on about how she can barely feed her kids. And then in the same breath is talking about how there's food inequity in the black community.
Yeah.
And then I pull her off to the side. I didn't want to put her on blast right there. I'm like, hey, didn't I just hear you talk about how your foods are? She's like, yeah, everything's ridiculous. I can't make a living, blah, blah. I said, so why on earth are you talking about black people and their inability to feed themselves? Yeah, that's a problem in the hood.
Yeah.
But why are you
the one starving?
She looked at me and I swear, she didn't actually say it, but if I was reading her mind, she looked at me like, you Uncle Tom. I mean, I swear, as soon as I said that, okay, so we go away, we leave the meeting, we come back, there's another meeting. And then it's the same thing. I don't know. We're talking about something entirely different. And this same chick, along with all the others, are talking about inequity and how, and then they go on about how, look, in a nutshell, basically there wasn't a farmer in that room that could not farm without government subsidy or it wasn't that they couldn't farm without subsidy. They couldn't farm without grants. So there was not a single farmer in that room.
Which is just hobby farming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was not a one of them. They're in there going on, and then they're saying, well, I can't afford to feed my chickens. Well, I say, hey, you know, there's this method that Jeff Lawton invented called the chicken tractor on steroids. You know, we're probably the world's expert on that. We feed them for free. We use, you know, food scraps. And there was a guy in there that was talking about all the vegetables he couldn't sell, which he must be doing something seriously wrong because you can sell vegetables around
Asheville.
Here.
This is Asheville.
So I'm like, well,
all these vegans around here, these cold people walking around.
check this out. There were two of them in there talking about how they couldn't move all this product. They have stuff rotting. So I'm like, ding, 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 ding. I go off and I said, hey, y'all, there's this great method that Jeff Lawton invented. This girl over here is saying that she can't feed her pigs and make a living out of it, can't make money. And, you know, there's another one over here, that same girl, talking about how her chicken feed is going through the roof. Well, check this out. We feed all of our pigs we raise our pigs for 21 cents a pound. We raise all of our chickens for free, and it can be done. And she was bitterly opposed to raising Cornish crosses in a system like this. So I kid you not, man, it was just like Plato's allegory of the cave. Man, I sat here and I dropped it. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, I've been pretty well. I know it seems hard to believe, but I was quiet for the most part. And then, man, I came out blasting. I said, hey, y'all, there's all these different methods. And I'm thinking I'm helping these people. But all they keep thinking about is, well, and this is what they said to me. You're a black farmer. We would figure you would be, they said it very, very politely. This is going right back to the black thing. They're like, well, you're a black farmer, man. We would figure you would understand. And I'm like, okay, I'm about to take the gloves off right now. And I'm trying as best I can. I'm like, okay, so let me put it back to you this way. Okay, so you're thinking I'm a black farmer, which, by the way, I'm not all black. I didn't tell them that. It would not have been helpful.
BIPOC, Dad.
Oh, is BIPOC. That what I am?
Yeah, it's black and indigenous people of color.
Yeah, so instead of calling me Uncle Tom, they better call me Uncle Tomahawk too, because of my native heritage. Is that what you're telling me?
It's all one group now. It's BIPOC.
Okay, so I get to, no, I don't like that. Call me an Uncle Tomahawk. I like that better. So these people were basically saying, in a nutshell, well, you're a black guy. You ought to know the inequity that's going on. I said, no, I'm an American. I'm an American. That's what I said to them, honestly. And you could tell, man, they were like, I went from being. This is why I say some of the most racist people out there are these so-called people that come from this leftist tradition that have this bigotry of low expectations, that just because I'm this color, that I ought to be complaining along with them. I'm like, so...
Or that you should suck at farming.
Yeah, so exactly.
Well, you can also just suck at farming.
There you go.
It doesn't have to be racist. It doesn't have to be any kind of systemic whatever. You could just be bad at it.
But it's not, exactly, son. It has nothing to do with whether you're black, brown, purple, whatever.
But there's
if
hope.
You need, yeah.
You don't have to keep sucking at farming.
There you go. There are methods out there. But instead of them saying, well, hey, there was not one person in that room that said, hey, well, tell me more about this. Yeah. You're making some pretty high claims here. You're making some pretty lofty claims. You're telling me you raise chickens for free. You're telling me you get compost out of the deal. You're telling me you raise pigs for 21 cents a pound. Yeah. Not one person in that room wanted to hear more. And all they could focus on, over and over and over, was constantly going back to this, well, you ought to know, black people had a, I say, yeah, black people, along with every other farmer out there, believe me, I got news for you folks, and I know some, if you're driving right now, you might want to pull over, because you ain't going to believe what I'm about to say. dig this. I'm going to say what I said before, and I know a lot of black people are not going to like it when I say this. It is easier for you in every way imaginable if you are a woman, especially a black woman, and especially a person, or a BIPOC, I guess I am now. It is 10 times easier for you to get grants. It's 10 times easier. And like Dave, who's that guy, that money dude? Dave
Ramsey.
Ramsey. Like he always says, if government's just breaking bread, I'm not going to fake dead. Well, that's actually Snoop that said that. Yeah. So if you break bread, I'm not going to fake dead. So when you get down to brass tacks, it is easier for you to get a lot of these grants. Believe me, they will give them to you just because of the color of your skin. So I'm sitting here talking to these people that seem insistent on the fact that, oh, well, I know 10 other black farmers that aren't making it work. And then I look them up. What did you notice, son? This girl's out there. She does a crowdfunding.
Some obscure, crappy business. Like I said, they just suck at farming. And like I said before, you don't have to always suck at farming. There's solutions out there. But having some obscure, weird business like only native cut flowers, well, depending on where you live, you got like a month of business.
There you go.
Depending on where you live, you got a month.
They did a crowdfunding for this chick. Not only did she get the money, they did another like a local, like a fundraiser for this girl. I think she got somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000 and said it was still racist because she didn't get enough to live on.
At what point do we just let a business fail?
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Let the market decide.
Yeah.
Because if you ain't good at this, then maybe you ought to get good at this.
And black people aren't mad that you're telling everybody this, Dad. They're mad that you're revealing the secret.
No, at the same time, there's a whole lot of black people out there. You know what? There's that silent minority of black folks out there that agree with me.
Right.
Because honestly, you have more available to you as a black person than, you know, the white guy out there doing the same exact thing. You not only have, and not only that, you get put at the top of the list in terms of preference. They told me that. They said, why aren't you shooting for these grants? You'd be at the top of the list. And this is coming from a woman that says she can't even feed her two kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're out of your freaking mind, y'all. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. I don't care. The color, look, it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a blue state thing. It's not a red state thing. It's a state against you. So you better wake up and smell the corruption or you're going to fall asleep drinking the hemlock. Like I always, maybe I ought to end the show this.
Still have another segment.
Yeah, maybe I ought to end the show by saying that from now on. Because honestly, this nonsense about black, white, whatever, you need to forget about these colors, y'all. We need to coalesce. They are trying to divide us, and they have been dividing us forever and a day. It is not harder for a black person to farm. The seed, oh, I'm a little seed in the ground. I'm not going to germinate because he's a white guy.
Yeah, we have racist seeds.
He's a honky. I'm not going to grow for him, but oh, find me a black guy. Oh, there's a black dude. I'm going to jump up out of here. I'm going to become a plant now. Get out of here with that nonsense, man. I'm so sick and tired of this.
Doing baby talk to
Okay, there's an inside joke there. We probably ought to stay away from that one. But the point being is I am so sick and tired. Look, every purple you know what that has been listening to this podcast, they just ripped the cord out of the wall. Folks, like I said, you wanted to pull over. Any accidents out there,
they didn't make it this far in, Dad. This is episode 13. They didn't make it this far.
You don't think so?
Purple breather? Yeah, they've been weeded out.
So, you know, definitely I'm not for you. But folks, at the end of the day, I don't care the color of your skin. And I hope you don't care about the color of mine. And by and large, most of you don't. I'm hearing from black folks. I'm hearing from white folks. A whole lot of black folks are saying, yeah, brother, preach it. And at the end of the day, I don't need your sympathy. I don't need your, you know what I'd like to get out of all this? I just want your friendship, and I don't want it based on anything other than, you know what? This guy gets it done. This guy keeps his word. This guy does exactly what he says he's going to do. This
guy produces. Based on character.
This guy evangelizes. This guy is encouraging people. That's the only thing. Do it on the basis of merit, not because of the color of my or anybody else's skin. So I guess I'm done with that rant, son.
All right. So,
no, I mean, the thing honestly really burns me up at the end of the day. I know we got to get into Q&A, folks, and believe me, I could go on about this and I could provide numerous examples. But all of you people from the leftist tradition, if you got this far, look, I'm not from the right either. I'm not a Republican. I'm a liberty-minded libertarian. Actually, I'm an anarchist, and that doesn't mean what you think it does. It just means I'm not in, you know, I'm all cool with the absence of government, especially the ones that they try to tell us what we can and can't plant. But look, if you are one of those people that's reliant on government subsidies, then you're not a good, I'm not going to say you're not a good farmer. You're not taking the full extent of what you are capable of.
If you're a farmer and you're relying on government subsidies, like Dad said, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad farmer. But there is a transition that you can make to get off that reliance and get out of debt and actually become a productive farmer.
Well, what really burns me up more than anything is that there are legitimate sources out there, legitimate ways in which you need very few inputs. We're doing them in every way imaginable. We've got a YouTube channel where we evangelize this stuff. And just now in these hard times, people more than ever before are now begging us to talk about some of this stuff. Like, hey, can you go into greater detail about this chicken tractor on steroids? Look, I don't know the color of your skin. I don't care about any of that. And neither does anybody else, because hunger knows everybody's number. And so don't be, moral to the story, don't be this lady out here who means well, who's been indoctrinated by these indoctrination centers called school or high schools and colleges. Please don't even send your kids there. Just stay away from all that nonsense, son.
Yeah.
I mean, agree. Now talk about lunatics. I just want you to, before we get into Q&A, I want you to tell that story about the one that said slavery and chickens. Do you remember
that? Yeah, I was doing a consultation out at the Earthship Biotexture area. And I was explaining the chicken tractor on steroids, which would be a really cool system in this one area. In the it's like a communal area. And this woman was arguing with me, saying that the chicken tractor on steroids is basically just putting chickens in slavery.
Mic drop. Bunch of lunatics out there, y'all. We're going to get back and talk about your Q&A.
Got these calluses from all those nights. Spent playing a telecaster till my fingers bled.
Now that's a jam right there, my boy Travis.
Yeah, that's Dad's fault for the reason your eardrums are blown out because of the shotgun blast.
Yeah, well, it's probably fitting based on what I'm going to do to that little critter out there messing with my birds. So he's going to get boom. He's going to get dealt with, but we're not going to talk about that. Allegedly, he's going to get dealt with. Okay.
First question. If he does, it was a vulture.
First question coming from Gene. I'm going to leave out your last name, folks. Dear pimp people.
I just pictured Smurfs.
Dear, for some reason. Dear pimp people.
Pimp people.
I'm building a sustainable neighborhood on 23 acres in a peninsula in the middle of Clark's Hill. Well, I guess better not give away all this. One of my design restrictions is an 8-foot buffer around the property, which I'm planning and using as a running trail. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers owns the shoreline and requires a buffer. One, do you have any opinions on swales doing double duty as access, meaning running trails? I have 300 tons of wood chips, and okay, let's deal with that one first. Let's deal with that first. Do you have, okay, running trails in the swale?
Yeah, you definitely. It just might not go where you want to run.
Keep that in mind. Yeah, it may not be in straight lines.
Right. You might be zigzagging or hopping in and out of the swale to connect to the next one, which is totally possible. Just lay it out, see which one. And if you lay one out and it's not where you want it, go ahead and lay another one out, because you can tweak it slightly and get the right outcome that you're wanting.
You better like running in mud boots also, because that swale's going to fill up. Yeah, if it rains,
where is she?
In Florida. I mean, Georgia.
In Georgia?
Yeah, so when that swale fills up, you ain't going to be doing no running up in there.
Or just put that spillway real low.
You're still going to be splashing either way, so... that you might want to keep a little access just on the top side of that swale.
Yeah.
And even then it might be a little bit swishy. And then also as a vet, my perimeter security is a big deal. Bam. I like the way you roll, my friend. I'd like a swale trail to have controlled access points to the lake. Not to block the $1 million views. Yeah, we can't have that. And also produce food for our residents. I'm considered Pollard Espalier. Espalier, he always gets on me about that.
Espalier.
And the dense of thorny animals. Can black locusts be pollard into a wicked thorny security fence? Can fruit trees be espalier to grow in this same type of barrier? Possibly. Black locust, you're not going to be able... You know what? Actually, I take that back.
You can train black locusts. You can train honey locusts,
yes.
too.
Yeah. Oh, honey locust, boy. Yeah. You're going to hate
life. I would train honey locusts instead of doing black locusts, because if you get close to that trunk, you're usually safe. But honey locusts is more dangerous closer
to
the trunk.
Yeah, them thorns, man. You could honestly take an eye out of some of those. Yeah, you could absolutely do that. Can your fruit trees be espaliered to grow in this type of barrier? Absolutely. In many ways, like Paul Gauci also always says in his pruning, you're the one in charge. So just remember, now he'll be pruning all year long, and I'm not going to argue with that dude. He knows what time it is. We tend to do that sort of thing in fall and winter. But yeah, I think that could absolutely be done if you do. You know, what kind of shrub layer is going to be best there?
Keep in mind the hollies. Hollies will keep people out.
Oh, yeah.
It's, they can get really tall if you want them to get tall. They can stay shorter if you want them to stay shorter. They have a bunch of different varieties, but that is every landscaper. Okay, here's a tip. If you're going to hire a landscaper and you want them to trim your hollies, your price just doubled.
Well,
because every landscaper hates trimming hollies.
Son, that's a really good tactical thing there, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I'm just saying, don't expect anybody to trim it cheaply.
Yeah, so as far as your shrubs and everything, get with your locals down there. Every place is going to be a little bit different. Okay, we got to get on to others also. We got a lot of questions here, but we'll do as best we can. Okay, Steven's saying, good afternoon, sir. I have a friend who runs a hibachi restaurant in my town. His food trash is mostly just rice, vegetables, chicken, and steak. I have 20 laying hens in my backyard. Could I safely feed my birds these scraps, even if there were bits of chicken in them? Thank you. Just heard you. Okay, so I don't need to cover the rest of that. Thanks a lot for your question, Steven. So what do you say, son?
I say, yeah, go ahead and do it. Rarely is there meat left behind. Like, look at people's, like, next time you go to a restaurant, pay attention to what other people are leaving behind. Rarely are they leaving behind any meat.
You'd be shocked, man. You would be shocked. There is a lot, but you'll find out in a lot of these places, whether it's Mexican restaurants. Look, y'all, I've been doing this for years.
Well, it's not just the food that people are leaving behind, but it's the stuff that's wasted in the kitchen as well.
You want to know what the most of is? I don't know about this hibachi place, but I've been doing this for so long. I'm usually the one that goes out and gets this stuff. Honestly, of all the scraps out there, whether it's pork, beef, and chicken, you will almost find no beef. You will almost find no chicken in there. And I got a theory on that, but you will almost always find the majority of it being beef. There's almost no pork. In a place that serves all three of those things, I hit them all. And I look at that sort of thing because we feed everything to chickens but chicken and everything. Now, does some stuff slip in there? Possibly, probably, more than likely. But typically, chicken, believe it or not, when you collect those scraps, and the reason I think, is because chicken is typically pretty tender. And people typically take that with them. We're also finding out that when it comes, I don't know why beef is always left behind, but I typically find that those beef pieces tend to be tougher. Hmm. So anything you have left behind, typically it's never pork, it's never chicken. In a place that has all those things, there's very little seafood. Believe me, I've been doing this longer than you can imagine. So it really...
So would you recommend he gets them?
I would take it. I would absolutely take it. I mean, it's... You'd be passing up a good thing.
And the ratio from like that one piece of chicken to the amount of rice and other scraps that are going to be left behind. Because like I said, it's not just what the customers leave behind. It's also the kitchen waste. So if you cook like a massive batch of rice for the night,
you're
going to have some left over.
Yeah. And that's the majority. If I had to tell you, y'all, the majority of what I feed is non-GMO rice, you know, just based on the places I go to. Now, I have provided solutions as far as a lot of these colleges and stuff. Look, I know there's a lot of lunatics running these places, but believe it or not, these highfalutin kids these days don't want to eat GMO. I mean, if they have a credit, you know, they won't eat a GMO, but they'll be the first one lined up to get shot up with something.
They want organic kale.
Yeah, they exactly. Believe it or not.
Fair trade organic kale.
So if you can hit up some of these places, you know, high schools and You know, schools, typically public schools, are feeding them garbage, not even fit for your animals. But you can take that stuff and you can use it. So look at the podcast in which we talked about that. We got one more that I think we can hit. This is from Mark. He wishes us well, and I'm just going to get on down there. He basically gives me a synopsis of, well, I'll try to get to it. I'm looking for a homestead to buy in Tennessee in the next few weeks. And he knows land prices are going up. He's got kids that are off and running, doing their things. One's going to be a commercial pilot. But basically, he's asking, in your opinion, roughly how many acres of land, this is a loaded question, how many acres of land would it take to support four, maybe six to people, six people at the very most in case things got bad?
I'd say five, just off the top of my head.
You know what I'm going to say? I really need to get this guy because I keep going back to him. He's since passed away, but himself and his three kids were living on like a third of an acre, producing 6,000 pounds of food. When you live in a small footprint, believe it or not, it will make you far more productive.
The reason I say five and not like that third of an acre, with third of an acre and making that kind of production, you have to be really, really good at it. The right. 5 acres, I'm saying 5 acres is because you're not going to be good at it starting off. So I'm giving that time to learn and becoming efficient with spaces and stuff
absolutely.
Like that.
Oh, absolutely. So that's why
I'm saying 5 acres, because you, like, your forage density will eventually increase. You can eventually produce more per acre, more per square foot and stuff like that if you're going to graze. But yeah,
I'm going to say 5 acres. I'm going to say as much as you can afford, as much as you can afford. If nothing else, that land provides you a buffer.
As much as you can afford and build after.
Right.
Yeah.
I would get as much as you can afford, but if you're asking me how many, that is a loaded question because there is no possible way to know your full skill set. There's no possible way. There's so many variables to put in there that we can't possibly compute. But if it were us, let's say, let's just say it were us on this property, not bragging, and we have, let's see, right now we got 5 here. I really, truly, honestly believe that we could do it on a single acre with what we know now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we definitely could.
You could employ aquaponics. Yeah. You could do things where you stack functions, hydroponics. There's so many different ways you can honestly stack, but we have years and years of experience of doing this.
A flat acre.
Right.
Or a gently sloped acre.
Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world. But we get that question a lot.
The type of 5 acres to look for, I would look for a combination of both pasture and woods and possibly a water source if you can help it and find well water.
Yeah, there's so many different things. And then also, if you're going to build this thing from the ground up, you know, go back to what we talked about earlier with that earthship. You know, there's a way to economize as much space as you might need. But like I said, I'm not trying to dodge your question. There are just so many variables in there.
Yeah.
But try to be really good wherever you live right now. Try to do everything humanly possible to make that land as productive. And if it's a small area, believe it or not, that will make you more disciplined when you have to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Where you can situate an orchard, a food forest in there, and then find out what perennial crops do in there. Find out what annual things that make sense in there. Can you put a greenhouse on the side of the house that's, you know, facing the sun? Are there so many different things you can, there are so many different ways you can go about it. But I wanted to cover this question because so many people hit us up about that. So many people ask about it. And I wanted to cover that at least to tell you, I'm not dodging your question. It really needs boots on the ground. And it also needs a fair amount of know-how and knowing what you're capable of. Well, thank you everybody that submitted all these questions. I'm going to change my tagline. Instead of stay alert, stay alive, I'm going to say, wake up, smell the corruption, fall asleep drinking the hemlock.